Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Thursday to you all. It is January 18th, 2018, and you are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Another heavy day here on WKAR's Current Sports as the foundation of today's show will center on day three of the Larry Nassar sentencing hearings. And we'll have a lot of discussion surrounded around what has been taking place in court here in Lansing. And we will have two guests that will be joining us starting at 1:15, so less than 15 minutes from now, discussing firsthand accounts of what it's been like following this case for them. Those two guests will be Rachel Fredette, who is the editor-in-chief of the State News. Rachel was actually a guest on national television this week on ESPN's Outside the Lines with Bob Lee, discussing how the Larry Nassar case has affected the student body here on the campus of Michigan State University. It is the story coming out of Lansing, Michigan, and many have thoughts on it. Many have been directly affected by what we are seeing in court. Those strong victims, I like to call them survivors, those strong survivors standing up, having the courage to stand up and tell their story of how they were manipulated by this sick man. We'll talk with Rachel Fredette because I don't know if you all have seen the front page of today's State News here on campus, but the State News is calling out Michigan State President Luana Simon. The front of the State News reads, and if you're tuning in via Facebook.com/currentsports, you guys can see the front page. I'm holding it up right now. It says, President Simon resign. And inside of the six letters of resign, you see faces of a few faces of the survivors of Larry Nassar. So we'll have Rachel on the show to talk about this story, which comes from the editorial team at the State News, this write-up, this editorial, calling out President Simon in literally just a moment, in a matter of minutes. I want to play audio from yesterday's appearance from Michigan State President Luana Simon in court, her first appearance this week in court, as she listened to the statements from multiple survivors. We'll play that audio in just a moment, but I also want to let you guys know around 1:30 p.m., we will then invite one of the lead attorneys in the civil case against Nassar, that being Mr. Steve Drew. Steve Drew is representing more than 100 survivors of Larry Nassar. He is of the law firm Drew Cooper and Anding. Steven will describe what the scene has been like in the courtroom, what it's been like to get to know these courageous women. And he'll also let us know what is next after this week as it pertains to the Larry Nassar case and whether or not Michigan State will be implicated at all in this whole thing. And then on the back end of the show, we'll even if we even get to it, we'll have we'll try to end the show on a much lighter note. We'll have Throwback Thursday for you if time allows, and maybe some chatter on the Detroit Pistons. Less important matters, but today's foundation will be centered yet again on the Larry Nassar court proceedings, day three of the sentencing hearings. If you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Again, you can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment below the live feed, and I will do my best to get to those comments throughout the hour. I see many of you already chiming in and expressing your thoughts on the Larry Nassar situation. And you can even join us via Twitter as well. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. So before we bring on Rachel Fredette, I do want to give you guys an update of what's happening right now. And there was one particular moment that happened before day three began, listening to victim impact statements, because Nassar actually wrote a letter prior to his four-day sentencing saying that he wasn't sure if he could mentally handle 4 days of listening to the statements. Yeah, he pulled the woe is me card. Judge Rose Marie Aquilina, who, in my opinion, has done such a solid job in being sympathetic and in many ways therapeutic for the women who have come forward in court to share their stories of abuse. Judge Rose Marie Aquilina said of the Larry Nassar letter that it wasn't worth the paper it was written on. This sick man who has caused insurmountable pain to countless lives had the nerve to put pen to pad and pull that. All of the countless hours of pain and anguish that these strong women are still enduring to this day. All of the countless hours of questioning existence, questioning worth, severed relationships. And Nassar has the nerve to complain about sitting in the witness box and having to face the music. A sick and delusional human being. Before we bring on our two guests, I want to play audio from Luanna Simon, Michigan State University President Luanna Simon, who showed up in court yesterday during day two of victim statements. This will serve as an introduction to our first guest, which will be Rachel Fredette, Editor-in-Chief of the State News, which has published a piece. The editorial staff at the State News has published a piece entitled President Simon Resign. That is what you see on the front page of the State News today. That is what the student body, student faculty and staff is reading from the State News publication today. Here is how the media availability of President Simon at court went yesterday.
strong that we would do all that we could to bring him to legal justice. I'm really proud of the work of the Attorney General and really proud of the work of the and that puts us at this moment. There'll be other times to talk about MSU's story, but this is about hearing their story. As I said, I did that all day yesterday. It came in today, and I didn't want to be a disruption, but you guys are reinforcing my view that I am a disruption. For our process is for the victims and the survivors and not about us in Michigan State today. There'll be a time for that to happen, and that's not today. And so, as I said, I didn't want to take space yesterday. I was concerned using the advice of the folks who I advise, who are my faculty members, to deal with these kinds of issues and research them, that there would be a presence that might distract people from speaking, and this is their moment to have their opportunity to tell their story.
President Zeman, when you hear with the stories that they tell, the fact that a lot of this stuff happened at MSU Sports Medicine Clinic, and he was such a well-respected guy on campus, what are you thinking about?
Well, I think it's a challenge of trust. It's a challenge of trust and how you go below that level of trust and you listen and hear. And in the case of medical procedures, those are ones that if you're a president, there's a lot of space between you and what happens in a clinic, as all the rules and regulations suggest. And so you trust. And when that trust is broken, it isn't about it. But again, today is about the victims. It's not about us. And there'll be a time for us to talk about what we've done, what we continue to do. But this is about listening to the victims.
President Simon, respectfully, a number of those victims have talked about MSU.
I know.
And the degree to which the institution enabled Larry Nassar. You're the head of that institution. What do you say to those people who have given powerful testimony that the institution enabled Larry Nassar?
This is their stories and their lived experience with their words. And I'm not going to challenge those words because it's important for them to say their words today in their own way. This is not the place for that conversation. And I won't be engaged in that here. There'll be another time and place to do that.
How are you feeling when you're hearing all these young women talk about how their lives were broken by this man who worked at Michigan State University for decades?
I've said all along that he's a monster who broke our trust. And as I said all along, I'm really pleased the role that the MSU police had over this last few months in helping the victims find justice. And the Attorney General's done a great job, and I appreciate his work as well.
What stands on your mind, personally for you, hearing what you've heard today? What are you to take away from this today?
You have to be horrified and extremely sorry that anybody's lives have been affected profoundly by someone that I trusted, a lot of people trusted. So what you're hearing is a story of betrayal and broken trust with enormous ramifications. And that is very, very painful if I were not the president of Michigan State. It is, so to put it in that context, it's not about the role here today. It's about a human being with all the suffering of someone who was extraordinarily trusted and had the potential to do so much good, and apparently in some cases did, but turned it into an horrific activity that did so much harm.
The last woman that we heard from, she said that she was treated by Nassar while he was under investigation.
Folks, there are pieces about this story that are public, and there are pieces that will be told. This is not the day to do that. This is a day for listening to the victims.
There are many folks asking for accountability. Victims, survivors, parents, how do you respond?
I think there are steps being made towards accountability, and there are other steps that will follow. And some of it will have to occur in a setting that is in a rule of law. Others will occur in other forums. And again, this is not the day to have that conversation.
Is there any truth that there's money been put aside for counseling for these girls?
Yes.
Have any of the girls been contacted yet?
They were supposed to be.
Okay.
I do not know until listening for the last 2 days the names of the victims.
Okay. Well, okay.
So you're telling me, currently on the Michigan State gymnastics team, or I was when I go public, you had no idea who I was. Kathy Klagas was coaching me, and you didn't know.
What we've done with the victims fund is have that set up. It's available to those heard in the MSU, through the MSU clinic, through MSU students and others. The information for that fund is being given to people either through their attorneys, if they are represented, or through the activities of the victim's assault, the victim support unit through the police.
Who does my daughter contact?
The press release had two names, but you can, if you want your daughter to contact me, I'll take care.
Okay, only because we haven't been given
that.
What about for those of us who have already had counseling, but this is now a year and a half later that you're doing this?
The counseling fund, if you read the material that was released publicly,
I would like to hear from you.
Okay, includes past expenses.
President Simon, what are your plans for the next 2 days?
No, it doesn't.
Well, I'll continue to keep track of this. I've become disruptive enough, and I don't want to do that again.
So are you saying you won't come back?
What do you see?
No, what I'm saying is I'll listen, but I'm not going to be this kind of disruptive because the focus of the attention should be on the people who are telling their story and not on me or Michigan State.
Well, this has been a distraction for over 20 years now, so that means absolutely nothing to us, just so you know.
Well, I appreciate that.
And sure you do.
And I hear you. I heard your story, and we'll continue to hear your story.
I would like to believe it when I see it.
What do you see with Larry Nassar?
I fired him the day I knew about it, so that's all I can say.
You can't say anything more of him today? You were able to get up on the stand. What would you say to him?
I would say much the same way the victims have said, that he betrayed an enormous potential and talent that could have been for good and turned into a monster who did terrible things that will affect the lives of people for a long time, including, as some victims have said, the lives of his colleagues and those around him for a very long time.
Again, that sound coming from yesterday's media availability as Luana Simon, president of Michigan State University, stepped foot in court to listen to victim statements from the victims, of course. Again, I like to call them survivors of Larry Nassar. And it was an interesting back and forth that she had with the press. She noted how she didn't want to become a distraction. And she noted how, you know, as soon as she heard about what was taking place with Dr. Nassar, she acted accordingly and fired him. But many people believe that she did not do enough. Right now, I want to get to our first guest for today's Current Sports. Her name is Rachel Fredette. She's been a part of our airwaves before. She is the editor-in-chief of the State News. The State News, which has published an editorial entitled "President Simon Resign." That is what the front page of today's State News reads. And first off, Rachel, welcome to today's Current Sports. I know you are one busy individual. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me, Al.
Rachel, I want to start with a tweet that is pinned to your Twitter profile, and a tweet that I think really puts into perspective just how this story has evolved and grown over time. Quote, "It's important to note, a year ago, we were at the presser. Today, we were in court. We've covered Nassar's cases since the beginning. We will continue to do so. I remember one day we put the victims list on the newsroom wall. 16 women. We were shocked. Now, more than 140. That's what you tweeted on November 22nd of last year. Reflecting back on that tweet and seeing how this story has grown and how, you know, these courageous women have come out, now more than 140 of them coming out and sharing their stories. What's it been like covering this?
I mean, to say it hasn't been my whole life for a year and a half, and most of my newsrooms as well, would be an understatement. We've been saying Larry Nassar's name every day, and we've been tracking this case since September 2016. When it first broke, and right after the Indy Star broke something in August. It's a lot of pain to cover these kind of stories, but I'm really happy that ultimately we're finally reaching national news. Our reporting is getting a lot of attention, but also that these victims are being able to have a light shined on them. That's what's really important here, especially with these testimonies coming in his court days these past few days.
President Simon's comments as she addressed the media yesterday in court. What do you make of those comments, and what led to today's editorial piece being published concerning President Simon resigning, possibly?
Well, it's been a long time coming. We wrote an editorial in the end of the year, 2017, talking directly to the Board of Trustees and Simon, asking them to do something. And we haven't seen enough progress. And then I think it was a lot of things this week, hearing the testimonies and hearing all of these women and girls say that MSU played a role in not doing enough. We wanted to make it clear that the best way for MSU and for all of these women and girls to move forward is for a change in scenery, not only with Simon departing, but with enablers of Simon to depart as well.
You know, you listen to Simon's comments, Rachel, and, you know, you look at the facts. And, you know, the first report from what I've been reading, you know, came across as early as 1997. The investigation didn't come through until 2014. When you listen to President Simon respond to those questions, how sincere do you think they were, and did she do enough?
Well, I mean, I don't want to really give my opinion on it, but I think President Simon is trying her best to respond to the press at this point, because for right now, I think the focus should be entirely on the victims, the women and girls who are speaking today. But it's also important to note that Simon's comments are important. She runs this university. She is the figure we look to, that they look to. So I think it's really important the words she's choosing to say are going to be registered by people for these next few weeks. And I think I understand if they're being strategic, but I think Simon is kind of dancing around a lot of this stuff. I think she needed to address a little bit more of what's going on as far as what happened with the investigation. She keeps saying a lot of the same type of thing is, we can't talk about this now, but I've been waiting for them to talk about it for quite some time. We only have a few public statements from her, and I think these victims deserve more. I think they deserve more from her. I think they deserve to hear more from her, but not just her. There's a lot from other people as well. I mean, different parts, the dean of osteopathic medicine as well. Yeah.
Rachel, were you shocked that President Simon showed up in the first place? Because I have to be honest with you. I didn't think that she was going to show up throughout this week. I thought she was going to just let things play out, not get involved at all. What was your reaction when you found out that Simon was going to attend court yesterday?
I didn't really have much of a reaction. I read the reports, and the reports said that she was not going to be at court. It was said that she was going to be listening to the different testimonies, but she was not going to take a seat in court. So what I found interesting is that she ultimately made the decision to walk in, especially halfway through the testimonies. I think that made a really big distraction. But yeah, I didn't personally have a reaction. I mean, most of the reporters really didn't. I think we were a bit surprised because, again, it was reported that she was not going to.
What do you think is the likelihood that President Simon will step down, or do you think she'll just ride this whole thing out and go down kicking and screaming?
I'm not sure. I don't think I can make that call or that thought yet. I think we'll have to see. We'll have to see what her decision ultimately roots to. I mean, my editorial board, I think, said it perfectly. Simon, if you're the Spartan you claim to be, you will step down and bow out gracefully. We hope you make the right choice because time's up. We've been waiting a year and a half to hear more, and we haven't heard enough. So.
And speaking of your editorial board, Rachel, I mean, it takes a lot of courageous reporting to go after the president of Michigan State University. Of course, your publication is published and has been published on this campus for quite some time. What are the conversations like in the newsroom, and how much of a responsibility do you feel when reporting on a story like this to the student body?
Well, Alice, it's our whole world. I mean, this case has been engulfed in our newsroom. It's just all of us are involved. We have sports, teachers, campus, and city desks, in addition to my editors, all working really hard to do the best reporting we can, because this is the university that we're a part of, that we're obviously independent, but our audience is the MSU audience. And what we've been trying to do is tell everyone and give out the information that this case is essential. It's it's happening, and these women have a lot to say, and they need to be heard.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Rachel Fredette, who is the editor-in-chief of the State News. Rachel and her team at the State News have been following closely the Larry Nassar case since the beginning. Since the beginning. And, you know, I'm looking here on our Facebook page, Rachel. Alex wants to ask you about Mark Hollis and the Michigan State Athletic Director and his involvement. He hasn't been named anywhere, but is he going to be involved in this in any way, shape, or form?
I think that Hollis has a lot to do with this because he is, of course, a person in power in charge of athletics. I think you might see his name pop up a lot more, but for right now, I think there is a lot of attention on Simon because Simon runs the university. But the victims have been saying that athletics have stuff to do with this as well, but their main focus have been MSU and obviously USA Gymnastics. I think once we start to see things happen in the higher-ups that eventually maybe Hollis will be a part of the conversation. But again, that depends on what the victims and obviously all these investigations conclude.
Rachel, before we let you go, I want to talk about the student body once more here. Do the women on this campus feel safe based on the reaction that you guys have gotten from your coverage, the reaction from today's piece from your editorial staff that was published concerning Luana Simon? I can even go back to the Michigan State football investigation concerning four players who were charged with sexual misconduct. There are so many unfortunate stories coming out concerning sexual assault and abuse on this campus. From how you gauge it and having a finger on the pulse of the student body here at Michigan State, do women feel safe walking this campus?
I can't speak for every woman on this campus, but I can speak for myself and what I've noticed and what I've reported on for the years that I've been here. In September of 2015, I started as a beat reporter, academics administration beat. And my first day, the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights, OCR, they found, the Title IX office found that MSU had violated the way that they handle sexual assault cases. That was my first day. Since that first day, nothing has stopped. Nothing has slowed down. There is a lot going on this campus that I think could be perceived as making an uncomfortable atmosphere. I think you're going to see a lot more, and I think a phrase that the State News has been using and that we wrote in an editorial a year ago is that this is just the beginning, and we may have reached some form of a peak, but it'll eventually, I don't know, hopefully conclude to the point where these victims, the women and girls, can find some type of solace, some type of peace after being able to get reparations from both the university and hearing that Larry Nassar will be behind bars.
Rachel Fredette, editor-in-chief of the State News. Rachel was also featured on ESPN's Outside the Lines earlier this week as well. Rachel, how can our listeners out there follow the coverage from you all at the State News, and what do you all have planned as far as coverage goes later on today, I assume, via your website?
Yep, we're in court. We will be in court today and tomorrow, and we will be covering the case as fervently as we have been. You can check out our Nassar coverage at statenews.com/Nassar coverage. You can also follow us on Twitter at This News. You can also follow me on Twitter, which is @Rachel_Fredette. You can also follow our tremendous campus editor, Madison O'Connor, @MadisonOcon on Twitter. She's currently in court. And those are all great things you can go to. You can also find us on Instagram and Snapchat.
Rachel, keep up the outstanding work. Thank you so much for sharing a bit of time here with us on this Thursday edition of Current Sports. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Al.
All right, let's hit our first break. There's a lot to digest there, and I'm getting many comments on our Facebook page. I'll get to a few of those comments in just a moment, but let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk with Stephen Drew of law firm Drew Cooper and Anding. He is one of the lead attorneys representing survivors of Larry Nassar. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Foundation of today's show, of course, centered on what's taking place in court concerning Larry Nassar as we now embark on, what, day three of sentencing hearings for Larry Nassar. We just finished a chat with the editor-in-chief of the State News, Rachel Fredette, as the State News have published a piece today concerning President Luana Simon of Michigan State University resigning, calling for President Simon to resign. The front of the State News reading, President Simon, resign. So much to digest as we move along throughout the week discussing the case of Larry Nassar. And as if Michigan State couldn't get any more negative headlines coming out of this week, well, I don't know if you guys saw this story, but white supremacist Richard Spencer will speak for 2 hours on the campus of Michigan State University on March 5th. Yeah, you heard that right. The university and Spencer's lawyers have agreed to this. This is the first day of Michigan State's spring break. The agreement came in a settlement of a lawsuit filed by attorney Kyle Bristow against Michigan State after it denied Spencer's representatives space to speak on campus. So white supremacist Richard Spencer will be speaking on the campus of MSU. I don't get it. I'll reserve my thoughts on that story for later on this hour if I even get the chance to get to it. But right now I want to get to our second guest for today's Current Sports because I know he is certainly limited on time. His name is Stephen Drew of law firm Drew Cooper and Anding. He is one of the lead attorneys representing survivors of Larry Nassar. Stephen, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. How are you doing?
No problem, Al. It's been a heck of a week.
Yeah.
We're surviving that as well. No, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I can only imagine what this week has been like for you, what it's been like for...
It's hard sitting there listening to all the anguish that your clients have gone through as a result of this man and the system.
Right, right. And I'll start there. I mean, when you sit in the courtroom and you listen to these statements from these very strong women that you all are representing, what's the feel of the courtroom been like? What's it like sitting and hearing these heinous stories? How would you describe these last few days, Stephen?
There's been the entire range of emotions. There's been a lot of crying. When he walks into the room, a lot of people they can't hold it anymore because they've held so much in. Sometimes knowing that something was wrong, but not knowing what. And then when you find out how long this man has been doing this and to how many he did it to girls when they were as young as 9, 10, and 11, you know, and even older. So just seeing him walk in the courtroom brought out a lot of emotions. As you've probably seen and heard, there's been a lot of anger. There's been a lot of anguish. I've seen some of the looks of the fathers of these girls look at him like they would like to just jump over the rail and take care of them their way. You know, and he sits there with a stoic face. And as one said today, I think it was Jamie Dancer, you know, I would say what you have done to me and what you did, like some of them, but you probably enjoy it, you sick bastard. You know, I mean, that's... So there's been a lot of different emotions, and there's also been the first step of some healing. A number of our clients had wanted to be anonymous. Nobody was believing them at first. They were calling them, including the campus of Michigan State, calling it a witch hunt, calling them ambulance chasers, calling them money chasers, mocking them, threatening them. And a lot of them did not want to come forward. Some of them are still in gymnastics. But one by one, as they've started to, one of our clients is Kylie, has started to, little Kylie was still looks like she's, you know, 14 or 15. She's 18 now in college. Said, I don't want to be Jane Doe anymore. So I think him pleading guilty to this allowed some of them and then some of the others to come forward. So there's been kind of a movement of coming out, talking about it. Some of them, they have said some very, very personal things, suicide attempts, how they have felt about this, the trauma they've gone through over the years. And to be able to do that, you know, hopefully is the first step to look him in the eye. So I really respect what Judge Aquilina has allowed them to do. A lot of judges would have just kept it to the charged victims, but a lot of charges weren't brought against this man because they only brought some because, you know, the system may not have been able to handle 200 criminal charges. So they brought, you know, ones that they felt for legal reasons or other reasons were the best. But Judge Aquilina is letting everyone that was a victim and a survivor of this man that wants to come forward. So a number of our clients have made not a last minute decision, but a very thoughtful decision. It's time for me to come public as well. I think the Me Too movement has helped that as well. There's no shame in talking about shameful things that was done to you, especially as a child.
And Stephen, you talk about your the survivors that you all are representing. How many are you representing?
I'm working with John Manley, the attorney that represents the Olympians, and he called me back in September and said, I heard a lot of good things about you. You know, I do a lot of sexual harassment. Do you want to join with me in counsel on this? We're finding out that this didn't happen to the Olympic ones. There were a lot of victims in the state of Michigan. So we joined forces. So the two of us, our two firms, together represent filed 85, and it's about to go up to more than that. We're filing an amended complaint that'll be adding about 15 more, so over 100. There's over 145 total that have filed with other attorneys as well. So right now, filed cases are more than 145. We filed the lead case, the Den Hollander case, Rachel. I call her my Joan of Arc, because if she hadn't spoken up in 2016, he might still be doing this on your campus, very frankly.
Without a doubt. And, you know, we had Rachel Den Hollander on the show not too long ago, Stephen. And, you know, her voice is the voice that began this remarkable ripple effect, giving other women the courage to speak up and share their stories and really enlighten those women. Because, you know, what really strikes me, Stephen, is when listening to a lot of these women who have come in the courtroom and shared their stories, is that it didn't hit them that they were being abused until Rachel began to talk about her experience. And then it kind of clicked like, oh, my goodness, I've been violated.
Exactly. And you know, people say, well, wait a minute. Because when somebody's putting their fingers in your vagina with no gloves, you know, if Uncle Larry had tried that or somebody else, they would have told their parents right away. They would have done. But this was a doctor. These are gymnasts whose heroes he had on their wall. That was his wall. That was a part of it. So when you're trying to process things, and the other things that has come out in a lot of this, is they were hurting. Gymnastics is a very, you know, intensive sport. And it wasn't just gymnastics. Obviously, Tiffany Thomas, who was our client, who was a softball player at Michigan State, he didn't just do gymnasts. But you're hurting, and you just want to take this pain away so that you can feel better, so that you can compete. So when these things are happening, they know it doesn't feel right. And many of them are talking about now the effect it is having on their relationships with men, because this was the first man, the first adult, that touched them in an inappropriate way in those very sensitive areas that it really should be their first husband or first boyfriend or first, you know what I mean? And so that is still staying with them. So they believed in it. And then when they started hearing that, no, this was wrong and that this was a sexual assault, it hit them like a ton of bricks. And then they felt violated. And then when they started hearing that, wait a minute, I wasn't the first one he did this to. And then, wait a minute, you mean somebody told somebody in 1999? In 1997, they said the same thing, and they didn't do anything, and that this could have been stopped, and this didn't have to happen to me? That's a second type of insult to them, Al, and it's hurt them. And then when they hear, very frankly, some of the things that have come out from USAG, from Michigan State, mocking them and saying things like, well, you never will. I understand that a predator can do this and nobody can find out, or, you know, things of that nature. And never taking responsibility, never accepting accountability, using a lawsuit as a reason not to address the real issues of why this happened in your system, in your campus, in your system for 20 years, why these things happened, why they didn't get reported, why when someone told you that's what he was doing, and like trainers hear it, some told their coaches and it stopped there. Mm-hmm. But why you're telling me I don't have, you know, if you report this, you know, it could affect your family, it could affect your scholarship. You know, there's different ways of looking the other way, there's different ways of silencing it. That's a third type of hurt when you hear that. So it's multifaceted, Al. It really is. I mean, I've been involved in a lot of cases. I've done a lot of sexual harassment cases. And this one is just, there's no words to describe what is happening.
Yeah, you can say that again. Stephen Drew of law firm Drew Cooper and Anding, one of the lead attorneys representing over 100 survivors of Larry Nassar. And I want to talk about Michigan State University for a second here, Stephen, because, you know, before we had you on, you probably heard a bit of the interview with Rachel Fredette,
yeah,
the editor-in-chief of the state news. They are calling out President Simon to resign. She was in the courtroom yesterday. We played how that interaction went here on the show to begin the hour. What do you think is going to happen as it pertains to Michigan State's involvement in this? Because, you know, you look at that formal complaint in 2014, and an investigation did ensue. And, you know, a lot of people look at that investigation and say it was brief and sloppy, because after a 3-month suspension, Nassar was allowed to return to work. And about 20 women say that they were abused between his return and the time he was fired more than 2 years later. Stephen, what do you think is going to happen?
We represent a number of them, Al.
Right, right. Well, what do you think is going to happen?
These were young girls. These were young gymnasts that, you know, came onto the campus from all over the state. You know, I mean, I would use, not sure if I can use the word I want to use over the radio, but the word, I have other words for that investigation. I mean, that lady, and now she's identified herself, Amanda, told them that the man touched her breasts, told them that the man was sexually aroused when he did that. And somehow that doesn't find its way to where it should have, didn't find its way to the president, according to what she said yesterday. Didn't find its way to administrators that should have fired him. That's, you know, at that time. And when our clients heard that there was that investigation that was done at that time that way, and they told her that she didn't understand because she's not a gymnast, what is there not to understand about a doctor trying to touch your breast and massage your vagina? What is there not to understand that that's wrong, that that's a sexual assault? And to send him back and to put other people at risk. You know, a shepherd is supposed to protect his flock. That flock was not protected because that shepherd had other interests in mind, protecting the brand, protecting the sports program, protecting the reputation, as opposed to protecting the young ladies, young girls, young women that came under their care. And at the same time, and I heard it mentioned, they were under an investigation. The Title IX office was under investigation for doing sexual by the Office of Department of Education and Civil Rights at the same time. So, you know, in the litigation, we hope to look into some of these issues as to why that occurred as well.
And Stephen, MSU has asked a federal judge to dismiss the lawsuits against it by some 140 women and girls. The motion to dismiss was filed, I believe, in federal court out in Grand Rapids. Where are we with that?
Yeah, I practice in Grand Rapids. We're the ones that filed the original case. They filed it on the last week. Some of the day he got sentenced in federal court, USAG filed their motions to dismiss. Michigan State filed their motions to dismiss. You know, they're paying their lawyers a lot of money to do things. The motions have been filed. We are vigorously defending those motions. We are working on our responses as we speak. So that's where we are. They've been filed. There won't be a ruling on these for a while, I don't think. So.
Okay. All right, Stephen, before I get you out of here, I got two more questions for you. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Stephen Drew of law firm Drew Cooper and Anding, one of the lead attorneys representing over 100 survivors of Larry Nassar. Stephen, what's it been like getting to know these survivors? And I'm pretty sure it's tough when you have a case like this that is so vivid, that is so personal. I'm sure this has had some kind of effect on you emotionally, even though it's work for you. You're an attorney, but you can't separate that when dealing with a case like this, I'm sure.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head with a big hammer, Al. And you know, all our clients are important. You know, I've represented, you know, a number of persons that have been sexually harassed and things, and not ever this many in one case, obviously. But the thing that I have felt is, and it probably has something to do with the athletic discipline as well. I mean, athletics is a wonderful thing if done right. They are strong women that have been violated, that have gone through a lot. Most of them have great family structures, although you probably heard about one whose father committed suicide.
Yeah.
Most of them have great family structures, but it's been hard on the families. I've had to do almost as much counseling with the parents to tell them you didn't do anything wrong. This man was a master manipulator who got joy, I think, from even being able to do it right in front of you. That's how sick he was. So we've had to counsel them. But I have to say it's been a pleasure representing him, seeing the strength. It gives me strength. And represent him. They call, they say, thank you for helping us. Thank you for being a part of this. So it's actually been a great experience so far. A lot of work, but it's been a great, that's why I became a lawyer. And I'm glad I'm on this side of the V and not the other one, to tell you the truth.
Without a doubt, Stephen. And also a final question for you. We're getting this from our listeners out there who are watching on social media right now, Stephen. They're just inquiring about the letter. I know that Nassar did write a letter expressing, you know, concern about facing the survivors for this full 4-day period. That letter was read today in court, I believe, by Judge Rosemarie Aquilina. And when did he write that letter? It was like 6 pages, right?
It was 6 pages, single-spaced. I guess he wrote it sometime between yesterday and today, because I think she says she either got it last night or in the morning. That's why there was a delay in getting started. That was a moment, obviously.
Right.
Where he talked about, you know, it's a media show for her or something of that nature. You know, this has been so, in a weird way, good for our clients to be able to face this monster. A lot of times you don't get that, and you don't get that part of the closure. There's a lot of other closure that needs to be done. They're not going to be healed. This, you know, all the studies show when you're sexually abused as a child, it's with you for the rest of your life. The rest of your life. It's just, but when you ask them, a lot of them have stayed in school. They've got that discipline to still fight on and to still, you know, try and be productive. And most of them are.
And have you ever seen a judge operate the way that Judge Rosemarie Aquilina has operated? Because it's amazing to me to watch her after every statement is read. She provides some solace and some comfort in letting those victims know that, hey, It's not your fault. It takes a lot of courage to do this. We are with you. There is love behind you. We're here to support you. I mean, that's quite amazing. Have you ever seen that in a courtroom?
No, and I got out of realized criminal law wasn't for me quite a while ago.
Right.
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 So I haven't had that kind of experience with victim statements. I've represented a lot of survivors, though. And I'll say one thing. Judge Neff was just as amazing in a different way. The statement she gave during her sentencing gave them comfort, et cetera. But Judge Aquilina has taken it to another level by speaking to each of them. And I think that helps with somebody in a robe says your word. I mean, one of the things she said, because there were some comments about, I feel like killing myself. I feel like I'm not worth anything. And one thing she said, if you do that, you're an athlete. He wins. Don't let him win. And coming from a judge, I think it makes a difference. I hope it's going to make a big difference in these young ladies' lives.
Very well said. Stephen Drew of law firm Drew Cooper and Anding, one of the lead attorneys representing over 100 survivors of Larry Nassar. Thank you so much for your time, Stephen. Again, I know you're so busy this week. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your thoughts on what you've been going through in relation to this heinous case. Thank you so much, Stephen. We really appreciate
it. Thank you. You got my number. Stay in touch if you need something.
Will do, Stephen. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care. All right.
All right. Let's hit our final break. I think we need a big, deep breath right now to kind of process this entire hour. When we come back, we will do our best to wrap up today's very emotional Thursday edition of Current Sports. You are listening to Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Boy, oh boy, a lot to process. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have exactly 5 minutes left here in the hour. We have been chatting about day three of the Larry Nassar sentencing as more survivors have come forth and shared their stories of being violated and manipulated by this sick man. We've chatted with Rachel Fredette to begin our hour. Editor-in-Chief of the State News, as the State News Editorial Board is calling for the resignation of President Luana Simon. And then after we talked with Rachel, we invited Stephen Drew of the law firm Drew Cooper and Anding, one of the lead attorneys representing over 100 survivors of Nassar. We just wrapped up a chat with Stephen. If you missed it, we will, of course, have the podcast version available for all of our listeners out there to view. Around 3 o'clock. So you can listen to today's show at 3 p.m. In podcast form at WKAR.org. We do have a caller online, too, I want to get to. Dave from Lansing wants to talk about and chime in about the whole Nassar case. Dave, how are you? Happy Thursday.
Well, it's not really a happy
no,
day for,
it's not.
For anybody associated with MSU, and I happen to be an alum.
Right.
And as I mentioned to Ian, you know, we're not talking about nuclear physics here. We're not talking about $800 million, nearly $1 billion invested on campus, which is something good that Luana Simon did. We're talking about this mess, and it's on the front pages of every major newspaper across the United States and with MSU in it. And I think, you know, your previous caller made mention that Nassar was an extremely manipulative person, and I'm not defending Dr. Simon. I just don't think that you can ask her to resign right now. I think her showing up yesterday, I think she was under legal advice not to show up because of the lawsuit filed previously, right? You're getting sued. There's no reason for you to be showing any empathy when you're protecting, you know, what they were trying to get, immunity and statute of limitations. But I think she's finally woke up to, A, she's got to arrange her own exit, And I'll just leave you with this, Al. I'm surprised that Mark Hollis has sort of gone underground. Shelley Applebaum, the woman in charge of executive AD, in charge of women athletics, has gone underground and so far unscathed. I'm surprised that Kathy Klages was allowed to basically still run under the radar. She was allowed to get out of town, clean up her financial stuff, and get a three-day head start to retire before she did, which I think is, and that's almost 2 years ago, so that's unacceptable. And the last thing I'll say is we had Peter McPherson come in, and he was essentially an outsider, correct, as the president. But Michigan State, over the last 15, 20 years, Provost Uyot worked under President Simon when she was the provost. And I think that we have a right now there, I think President Simon was, one, protected by her people, and probably some of that information didn't get up to them because they were trying to protect themselves or protecting the brand, as your previous guy said. Mm-hmm. And I also think that President Simon is sort of blinded by a fog of legalese. If 2 years ago, even, which doesn't make it better, but if 2 or 4 years ago, they'd have called Mr. Nassar in and said, your butt's out of here. Sue us if you dare. I wonder what he would have done, because then these people would have come forward. What was that done to him? That's hindsight. But I think the table's being set for an orderly resignation by President Simon. Hopefully, Provost Uyot, Mark Hollis, Shelley Applebaum, and these coaches that are still there that were part of this are also allowed to resign.
All right,
Because they got to.
And Dave, we got to wrap it up. We got to
have a new start. Thank you, Al.
I totally hear you. Dave, thank you so much for chiming in. And I think those comments from Dave are certainly echoed by many in the Michigan State community, without a doubt. But I want to give a big thanks to Steve and Drew, a big thanks to Rachel Fredette, Ian Hawley, the man behind the glass, and to all of our listeners out there. A very emotional Current Sports. We'll be back at it, same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.